Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside Wall Street Matt Modica and the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, I am Greg Sussman. Gentlemen, what's poppin'? What's going on, Matty?
It's a good day. We learned some Daryl Dawkins facts in the last hour.
Sure.
We're going to move forward now.
That's all you can look for, right? Just the fine Daryl Dawkins facts. There you go. All-in kid, Jakey Seeley. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. NBA trade deadline day today. Just found out Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance headed to Cleveland.
Really?
Yeah. Getting younger, getting more athletic, trying to solidify that bench so LeBron doesn't have to play 75 minutes a night.
What did they give up?
I don't know yet, actually. Oh. That has not been reported yet. I have to imagine some picks.
It's not LeBron for Ball? That's not the trade?
That's not the trade, no. No, that's not it, no. Let's see here.
Darn.
I'm trying to find it out. I'm trying to figure it out what it was. Whoa! Oh, my God! Cleveland has traded Isaiah Thomas in the package for Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance.
What?
And that's it. Isaiah Thomas lasted a month with LeBron.
And that's that's all they're getting back? Like, I don't follow basketball. I even know that's kind of ridiculous.
Cleveland is also sending a 2018 first round pick and Channing Frye for Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance.
What? Are they trying to piss off LeBron?
Come here. I need you for this. Come here. Corey Parsons is still here, and I need him for this, because this is crazy. The first-round pick for Cleveland is still connected. We need to turn on Corey's mic for this, please. I know I'm sitting in the seat, but you're still here. This is wild. Turn Corey's mic on, please, if anyone's listening to us downstairs.
Hold on. Windhorse says the Cavaliers are taking on long-term money and helping the Lakers clear cap space to open up LA's 2018 free agency dreams. The Cavs are wagering they're keeping LeBron with this move. How does this help keep LeBron?
I don't see how that helps keep LBJ. That's a wild move right there. There has been increasingly more chatter that Isaiah Thomas was becoming a problem in that locker room. He only been there a month.
He played for a month. Yes. Last night when they beat the Timberwolves, people were saying, oh, LeBron didn't hug Isaiah Thomas. I'm like, right, come on, enough.
No, that was a point that people pointed out, though, that LeBron specifically stayed away from Isaiah Thomas.
So I think he probably wanted Isaiah Thomas off this team.
Clearly,
LeBron James is the general manager of this team. So when you see that deal go through, the pieces they got back, this looks like this is just a lot of this is not a move that a team trying to make the NBA Finals would make.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah. You bringing back Larry Nance Jr. and Jordan Clarkson? I think they may have thrown in the towel.
They traded Kyrie Irving for nothing but the Nets first round pick.
Yeah, you're right. That's it. That's basically
Kyrie Irving for the Nets first rounder.
That's basically all they got out the deal. You look at what the Lakers get back. They get Isaiah, who they'll probably move again.
Well, he's a free agent.
Yeah, exactly. He's not going to, clearly, if they're going to get LBJ.
So by doing this, I mean, the Lakers are going to, the Cleveland Cavaliers may have set themselves up to lose LeBron. I mean, I know what Jake just said, but you're just opening up cap space for the Lakers right now.
Yeah, exactly. Probably to go.
LeBron with this move. This actually set up for him to leave.
100%.
LeBron just made a deal to trade himself.
Yep.
Correct.
That's crazy. that's too much power when you can do that.
This is.
He just gave the Lakers the cap space to come get him.
You're being called It's Corey in the chat.
This is wild. The people are saying this is a good trade for the Cavs?
I like
Jordan Clarkson, sure.
Yeah.
Larry Nance, good player.
That team needs to get younger, but this is not a win now move, so I'm out.
These are two players.
This is you more, Greg, because I'm seeing a lot of this on the timeline right now. Everybody's calling Isaiah Thomas a cancer, and he's a problem. There's everything that was wrong with the team, and that's what's going to help LeBron stay. And so, I mean, you tell me. I mean, I've never heard anything of that fashion when it comes to Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, you know what? Isaiah Thomas is, as Corey likes to say, he's a me guy. Right, Isaiah Thomas is absolutely a me guy. He wants the spotlight. He wants to be the star. He wants everything to be about him. And it worked the last couple of years in Boston, right? Like, they were giving him a night sharing with Paul Pierce. He didn't even make it that far. And the fact of the matter is, in Cleveland, he was never going to be that guy. He doesn't play defense. He wants to have the ball in his hands to score. That does not work in Cleveland. That did not work in Cleveland. And now, it's over. 15 games.
Well, at least I got that number one pick, right?
Unbelievable. Wow. He blasted the team and the coaching staff for not being prepared. Obviously, there's been a lot of turmoil inside that locker room. And all comes to a head with Isaiah Thomas being traded.
It's pretty crazy, though. But like you say, LeBron set himself up to be a Laker next year. That's what really looks like happened.
This is crazy. Oh, Jake took what we said and made it a tweet. How about that?
That basically what it
does. Which one?
Isn't that what it looks
the
like?
The Cavs made this move to keep LeBron, and this actually makes it easier for him to leave.
Yeah, as I was saying that. I was typing as I was saying.
This is crazy. Now, a lot of people, like I'm saying on my timeline here, they're giving the Cavs credit for getting younger, getting athletes, which I get it. Like, I get that. They have to get younger. Their bench was Derrick Rose, Dwayne Wade, Channing Frye. Like, all guys are, like, 50 years old. Now they're getting young guys in their 20s that are both a guard and a big man to try to help. So I get that. I do.
The post-LeBron era?
Wow.
They're setting themselves up for that, I guess.
This is crazy.
I'm pulling it up right now, but you probably know off the top of your head, Greg. How's the Lakers' defense when it comes to points per game?
Terrible.
So now you have Isaiah Thomas and Ball trying to defend. Like, that's just going to be, good God, they're going to give up even more points now, is my point.
They don't care. I mean, they don't care about that because they're not trying to win this. They're just trying to tank. But this is interesting.
I was trying to get some DFS advice.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, definitely. Go play after the Lakers for sure. This is wild, man. Some really good tweets coming out from NBA writers here. Frank Isola just tweeted out, poor Isaiah Thomas was eliminated twice by LeBron in 9 months. No, that didn't do it for you, Jake?
A little chuckle.
Okay, all right. Let's see. Alan Hahn says, In response to the trade, blame Isaiah, then use his cap space to sign with the Lakers. What a brutal past 10 months this has been for IT on so many levels. Joel Solomon tweets, Isaiah Thomas
that's
is
actually kind of interesting. LeBron basically trades Isaiah Thomas there to go to the Lakers by clearing out the cap space Isaiah Thomas is going to clear next year when he's a free agent. So it's kind of interesting.
It is, for sure. Isaiah Thomas is going to be the first NBA player to be traded in the Big Three League, too. Brian Geltzeiler, he tweeted out, the Cavs did a nice job here, that Clarkson and Nance will help this year and can be part of the rebuilding plan if and when LeBron leaves. And as Zach Lowe points out, Isaiah has become toxic enough that they had to give their own pick in the first round, not the Nets one, their own pick away in the first round just to get rid of an expiring contract.
It's basically a bottom five first round pick, though.
Sure. But they had to give it away still.
Yeah.
There's ice skating, by the way.
Give it away now.
This is crazy. This is a crazy deal.
I agree with Corey, though. He just has way too much power. You can't give that. Giving him that power is basically, he said, you know, everybody, the inclination is he's going to be a Laker next year, and now he just made that happen.
I agree. I mean, this is wild. This is crazy.
I guess
kinda
that's
funny,
what,
honestly.
Yeah, I think Jay's right. It is kind of funny. I guess, you know, that's his gift for giving Cleveland a title.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable. Trading Isaiah Thomas.
honestly, this is kind of worse than the whole Miami thing, because at least that, he just left. You know what I mean? He didn't screw the team over while he left.
Oh, yeah, no. But, like, you know, listen, Isaiah Thomas is a free agent. And obviously, it wasn't just LeBron he's ticked off, right? Like, he had to tick off everybody in that organization. 15 games he played with them as the replacement for Kyrie Irving. Unbelievable. We're going to do the whole baseball thing, and I would just go after
well,
all
LeBron
this
didn't want, and LeBron didn't want Irving there.
Shout out
no,
to
he didn't. You're right.
Yeah, shout out to Kyrie, though. He got the hell out. He knew what was up, and he wasn't going to let LeBron do what he just did to, you know. He was the smart one here.
LeBron was, you're saying?
No, Kyrie.
Oh, sure. Kyrie crushed it.
It was a great move.
He's coming out looking like roses right now. Unreal.
Even if he thinks he hurts flat.
A buddy Frank Stample, he says, stock up for Isaiah Thomas on the Lakers. His usage clearly going to go up now, right? Like, the ball's going to be in his hands at all times. Although this is a rebuilding team, who knows what they're going to do, man? I don't know. We also had a minor trade just take place. Woj reports Memphis has traded James Ennis away to Detroit for Bryce Johnson.
Has LeVar Ball commented on this trade?
Not yet. Not yet. Still waiting on that. This is wild, man. This wasn't even supposed to be a big day. Listen to this. The Cavaliers traded away Kyrie Irving, Channing Frye, a first-round pick for Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance, Jay Crowder, Ante Zizic, a first and a second. Oh, boy. It's crazy. This is wild.
I mean, the trade deadline is today, so.
No, I understand that. I think it's just crazy, man. It's a crazy, crazy deal. I did not see coming.
Still have time to flip them, too.
Yo, absolutely. Absolutely. And that kind of makes sense with a rebuilding team. You know, they only care about Isaiah's contract. They don't care about Isaiah.
Yeah. I mean, if you can get something out of this, I mean, maybe they get to spin another first rounder out of this.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Wow. I'm shocked. I'm sorry.
Look, so LeBron's going to leave. Gilbert's going to sell the team. I guess she.
Don't they get somebody's pick if it falls in a certain range this year?
The Cavs, you're saying? Or the Lakers?
No, the Lakers.
I'm not sure. I'm not.
I thought they got the Sixers pick if it fell through like 2 through 5 or something.
I think it's the other way around. I think the Sixers get their pick.
Is that the way it is?
Yeah, I think that's the way it is. I think.
But I thought there's a restriction on it.
There is, for sure. I'm trying to figure out what that is for you.
I don't know. The NBA tread when it comes to picks is so
it's very hard. It's very hard to figure out. Yeah, so I'm right about that, Jakey Jake. Philadelphia would have the Lakers pick, which is number 9 right now. They would have that if it fell in this spot or something.
Okay. Sorry. NBA is dumb.
Well, not really. It's just hard to keep track of everything.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like the Bulls trade earlier today. They swapped 2022 second-round picks. Like, really?
Yeah, I mean, when the Lakers traded away Willie Hernan Gomez, they got a second-rounder in 2021, 2022, or 2020, 2021, something like that. Yeah. Like, awesome. Great.
And then the rights to swap second-rounders. And
how do you keep track?
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's trades years and years and years in advance because you also can't trade your first rounder 2 years in a row. So that's part of the rule. It's insane.
Frankie was trying to speculate that IT could be a spot in Washington. That could be interesting.
Because of Wall.
Although the Lakers, according to Ramona Shelburne, say that they intend to keep both Channing Frye and Isaiah Thomas. So,
yeah.
Well, you got to say you're going to keep him if you want to flip him.
Yeah, that's
true. But like at this point today, you could say you want to flip him, right? You only have so many hours to the deadline.
Well, what if you can't make a trade?
That's a good point. That's a good point, too. Yeah. Wow, man. This is crazy, crazy. NBA trade deadline. We'll have you covered all day long here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You got us, Roto Experts. The BFF podcast is up next. On Target follows that. I'm sure Jake will be very excited to talk about the NBA trade deadline.
Sure.
All right, we'll take that as a yes. How's that?
No.
Okay, all right.
We'll talk about it, but no.
What do you mean? No what?
No, I don't have to be excited about it. I said we'll talk about it. I'll leave it to Tony and Scott to talk about it.
All right, well, you'll get out of the way then. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
I want to talk about some baseball, though.
I ask Jake a baseball question? I just want to get his opinion. You can chime in as well. I'm just curious. Remember, in this league I'm doing... It's like real money. You got to buy these guys for the contract. So I had the second pick. I was pretty much thinking I was going to get Mookie Betts for $10. But it came out to either a $6 Trey Turner, $10 Mookie Betts, and there was a $5 Carlos Correa also available. I took Trey Turner. I've taken Betts in quite a few. But
I would take $6 Trey Turner every time.
It was tough for me. It really was.
There you go. Yeah, that's gonna make you feel good.
Yeah, no.
Jake went with you.
I still love Mookie.
Okay, you can love Mookie all you want. You chose Trey.
No, I'm happy I got him.
All right.
I just wanted to get an opinion. I'm happy.
All right, let's talk about some other baseball. I want to talk about certain guys as we kind of take a deep breath and pause and relax just a bit after this crazy Cavs-Lakers trade. And I want to talk baseball with both of you guys because, you know, I have two of the brightest baseball minds that I know seated with me today. I was with some of the guys that people going into last year absolutely loved. Matt, you and I spoke about like Jake Lamb earlier, Jonathan Scope earlier. I wanted to continue on that path. And they get to me to one of the guys, or two of the guys really, that people really loved. And the first was Lance McCullers, right? Everybody last year was on Lance McCullers. Everybody loved Lance McCullers. And when he pitches, Jake, he's really good. But you know that injury or that time on the DL, it's coming from McCullers. Now, when we've talked about him this offseason, it's been, sure, draft Lance McCullers as long as you draft Brad Peacock. As long as you pair them together, all is well. Are you as in this year, in 2018, Jake Seeley, as you were in 2017 on Lance McCullers?
No, so we talked about him earlier with Corey, and I am for his price right now. But I'm not excited to get him there, and I'm not disappointed. Like, it's not something that I'm saying, oh, my God, I got to get Lance McCullers, and oh, my gosh, that price is so amazing. It's a fair price where he is now. It's not just the injury concern. It's what I brought up. It's also the whip. It's like a 1-3, maybe even a mid-1-3 whip, so that's going to actually hurt you. The strikeouts are fine. The wins will probably be fine because he's on the Astros. So what he's doing on a per-game basis with a solid ERA and strikeouts for the time that you get him is all fine. It's just not great because you're losing a category with the whip. So that's why I called him. I said like 2.5, 3 category starting pitcher. That's good. I'll be happy to have him on my team. I won't be disappointed if I miss on him.
In the range where he's going, there's actually some...
Which is what?
He's right now 152. And for him, like I stated earlier, I want to have some exposure. I don't want to be overexposed, though. You just can't. And Peacock is definitely a handcuff. It's one of the few baseball things where, even with Charlie Morton, if you take Charlie Morton, I like Charlie Morton a lot as well, but he's a guy that never pitches 150 innings. So I think Peacock does have, and he's falling, he was going much higher. He's fallen some rounds now. But if, like, McCullers, Danny Salazar, Garrett Richards, I want to have shares of all three of those guys in this range. So one time I'll take a McCullers, I'll get Danny Salazar, I'll take Garrett Richards. It's all upside arms that, you know, haven't given you the innings. But if they do give you innings, you should be very profitable, if that's the word we want to use here.
So you said McCullers, Salazar, who's the last one?
Garrett Richards.
Okay, Garrett Richards. I was going to say Garrett Cole. Like, he brought Garrett Cole again?
I have plenty of Cole.
Jake, those three guys, Garrett Richards, Lance McCullers, Charlie Morton, I forgot one again, and Danny Salazar. Those four guys, are they better because of those lack of innings in a roto league than a head-to-head?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's just really comes down to you. You got missed time in head-to-head. It's not just the missed time in the head-to-head. Like, if you said, all right, I get these guys for their 160, 180 innings through August, that'd be great. And then you just, all right, I'll make plans for September. But it's not. You're going to get missed time with injuries possibly, and then, you know, maybe they skip a start, or maybe, you know, they, it's just the fact of, like, who knows when the missed time is coming head to head. I honestly, when it comes to starting pitchers and head to head, I'm always going to chase ERA and starts. Like, I would love to get strikeouts are very close behind, but I want to know that I'm getting 30 starts with a solid ERA, because usually the rest of the stuff will fall in line with that.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense too. Now, another top tier pitcher that everybody loved last year. So I'm not looking at last year's trash so much. I'm looking at last year's hype guys. And the other pitcher that really came to my mind when I was thinking of last year's hype guys was your boy. And that's James Paxton, obviously. Mm-hmm. And we spoke so much. We spoke so much about Paxton at this time last year into March. And not the argument that I made against you, but the point that I made was that where he was going, which was as a top 20 starting pitcher, maybe even a top 15 to 18 starting pitcher at the time he was going, he needed to bring back, like, it wasn't a dream anymore. You weren't taking a flyer on somebody. You were taking a guy that you needed to basically be your number two starting pitcher.
Yeah, he was going like seventh round. By the time we went live in March in the 15-teamers, he was going like seventh, eighth round. He had consistently moved up. Maybe he was going 12th round and back in November, December. But he's a guy right now, I want to say he's going 76th overall. I own zero shares of Paxton. I want to have a share here and there, but it's the thing is, if you knew you were getting 175 innings, he's a hell of a pitcher. He got better, but he got injured twice.
And this is it. Matt Modica, and I can't, for those that are just tuning into us for the first time, there was nobody in the industry higher on James Paxton.
He was a likable guy, though.
Matt Modica. He was extremely likable. But, he was your Kareem Hunt of baseball. I mean, let's call it what it was. Okay. He was a guy that you went out of your way to have it, and you had said...
I think the biggest argument I made was I was willing to keep paying up as he went up.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
That's absolutely right.
I hear people, I love Paxton, but, I ain't paying this price now. I'm out. This and that.
Definitely. And as the price went up, Matt continued to buy. He's going in the mid-70s right now. So you're looking at a guy that's... right where he was last year at the end, right? Sixth, seventh round guy.
Yeah, if you're doing the 12-teamer, you're going to do that.
You remember around where you finished with that, Matt? Like starting pitching top 20, 25, 30? Like, do you remember? I'm just curious.
What? I'm sorry.
Like last year, like where you were saying, like, that's where I would put him. Like where he was coming off the board for you.
Yeah, I had him like right inside. Maybe I had him right outside the top 20, and then I put him right inside the top 20 as he moved up. For me, it was just... see, I think, you got to take – innings are great. But especially now this year, 150 innings is more of the norm than not. And not a lot of people can even do 150 innings and 150 strikeouts.
Sure.
And then when you start adding in, like, sub three or even sub four.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's like you guys know this by now. I do my rankings based on projections, and that's the thing. Is I had James Paxton starting pitcher in 27, so a little bit behind Matt. But that was only off 169 innings. And it's just the fact, like, to Matt's point, people don't realize this, especially when it comes to rotisserie, is you could pitch 160 innings and still be a top 20 pitcher because of what you're doing. And those, like, a pitcher like Paxton in 160 innings is better than a pitcher like Rick Porcello in 200 innings.
Yeah,
definitely. Obviously, right? Like, it's Rick Porcello we're talking about here.
Well, but, not a lot of people had Rick Porcello over him last year.
I hate Rick Porcello.
Look, it's like... The innings are great. That's one of the reasons why I'm really big on Gerrit Cole this year.
He's got two out of
the last three seasons where he's pitched 200 innings, basically 200 strikeouts and two out of three. He had 196 last year, so, But the fact that he's going to Houston, too, and what Houston's been able to do with their starters. I mean, from guys like that were outcasts like Colin McHugh, Charlie Morton went there. He left Ray Searage in PNC Park and was phenomenal. I mean, the guy was throwing in the, championship series. He was throwing like 99. He was hitting, coming out of the bullpen.
Sure.
95 consistently.
Well, before we move on to the other guys, I do want to ask Jake this year on James Paxton, right? Like, the height was all over last year. You gave us the numbers of what you expected, what you projected. How does that change into 2018?
I'm very similar to what it was last year, maybe with a few more innings, but I think that what we saw last year is real. I'm always a little bit more conservative, too, when it comes to projections. I'm probably not going to put him inside of, like, the high 2 ERA. I'll probably be more around 3.10. Maybe the whip goes up a little bit, but then you're going to get offset by the additional innings and strikeouts anyway. So I could see he's going to be a top 20, 25 pitcher again.
Yeah, and see, like, with Paxton – I'm fine with that. If I 160 innings, I'd be even more. And I'm not like trying to avoid him, but I'm usually getting, say, I've been going hitter a lot because I've been picking at the end of the first round.
Okay.
So if I'm doing that, I'm usually starting off with, say, an Aaron Nola, Carlos Martinez type, Cole as well. And I'm not getting Paxton. He's going where I'm missing him. I would take the shot on a Paxton and say getting 160 innings than even a Jose Quintana, who I like a lot. Because, Quintana was great when he came over and stuff like that, But the upside of Paxton, if he ever did pitch to 160 or 180, is just too good.
Okay. It is just too good if he could ever get there. Last year, he pitched 136 innings for the Mariners.
Yeah, he screwed you down that second half because it was kind of like, you know, waiting for him. And then
he goes back, and he goes right back on the DL. But as these guys have stated, the numbers are there. And that's the frustrating part, where if you can just get the 160 innings, man, 175 innings, you are so golden with this dude.
No, like you guys talked about head-to-head, I wouldn't, it's
too not worth it. Now, you had said you don't own any of James Paxton yet this year.
I don't.
Why?
It's just, that's the way it's fallen. Usually, I would take him in the fifth round, depending upon how I started, but he's usually gone by then. Like, it's not like I'm going out of my way not to draft him. The guy who I always want to get in the fifth round, who I never get, I miss him by like a pick or two, is Will Myers.
Okay. But it hasn't always worked out for you there. We're talking a lot of these guys that, I don't want to say post-hype sleepers, because they're not. They're just post-hype, I guess. I don't know. Guys that were super, super out there last year in 2017, and I just want to know where these guys, Matt Modica, Jake Seeley, these experts are picking him here in 2018, what their thoughts on these guys are. And we continue on with that kind of conversation. And I want to go somebody that was that guy in 2016, not necessarily 2017. And that's AJ Pollock, Jake, because he was this before these guys were back in 2016, and he had these major injuries, and everyone didn't really know what to make of him in 2017. And because of that, I don't necessarily know what to make of him in 2018 either. What do you think of AJ Pollock?
Look, the fact is, we know what AJ Pollock could be if he could play 150 games. Is AJ Pollock going to play 150 games? I'll take the under on that every single time. And that's the problem with AJ Pollock. The fact is, look, you're talking about somebody that's a 20-30 with a good average, like a five-category producer, should be, talent-wise, a second-round pick.
Yep.
But the problem is he can't get past 120 games, let alone 150, and that's the problem with AJ Pollock. You have to set yourself up to be without him for probably about 30 games, which might be the course of 1 month. It might be two different DL stints. It might be three different DL stints, especially now with the 10-day DL. So, you know, I don't see him being on any of my team because somebody in every draft I've been in so far, it hasn't been a ton, it hasn't been as many as Matt, but every draft I'm in, somebody's always willing to take him near that ceiling, and I'm just not going to do it.
I can't quit him. Jake's right. I just can't. I always find myself that, you know, if I don't need a pitcher in that fourth round or so towards the end of it, I'm taking AJ Pollock. If he gets anywhere near that 150, if you have the ability to have a guy with 20-30 and say 280 plus, that's a home run pick.
Yep.
Especially in the fourth, early fifth round. Well, I don't even think he's early fifth anymore. But maybe in a 12-teamer, you get him in the fifth. So Jake's 100% right on the games and betting against that. If I had to put like serious money on,
of course,
him playing 150 games,
right,
I'm going to take the under. But it's just what I have done is I didn't have any Byron Buxton. So at one time, instead of going with Pollock, I went with Buxton just to have some exposure.
Yeah, I'm going to get to Buxton in 1 second. AJ Pollock last year played 112 games, and he showed you a glimpse, as both these guys have described, of why you love them, right? He had 14 home runs, 20 stolen bases. If you could just extrapolate that for another 30 games.
You want to know who he is, if healthy? It's pretty much Mookie Betts.
You're absolutely right.
You get Mookie Betts in the fourth round if he hits.
But can he hit? Jake says you're nervous. Matt can't
quit. Well, that's what I just... In the chat, I just answered to Lance Davis. He said Marte or Pollock. And I said, for cost, I'm taking Marte. But if you want something that could potentially win your league or change to make a big difference, like a Mookie Betts, then it's obviously Pollock.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that's very, very fair. You brought up a moment ago here, Matt, Byron Buxton. Now, Byron Buxton is the prospect that I can't believe. What is he, 24 still, 25 years old?
Yeah, he's still a baby.
Like, we've been talking about this guy, I feel like, my entire career. In fantasy sports, this is what it feels like. He's 24 years old. He turned 24 in December. And yet, I legitimately feel like we have heard about this guy coming up being a superstar since I joined the fantasy industry, which is about right when he was in rookie ball.
Yeah, he had a birthday last 2 months ago.
Yes, he did. So last year, the final numbers, 16 home runs, 29 stolen bases, 253 average with a 314 OBP. He walked 7% of the time. He struck out just under 30. Now, back back in 2015 when he got called up, it was a disaster. Back in 2016 when he got called up, it was a disaster. But it wasn't as much of a disaster. So because it was less of a disaster, people are like, all right, I'm doing this Byron Buxton thing in 2017. They get in, they're all excited, and the first 2 months, you guessed it, disaster. You look at the splits. In April, batted 147. In May, 254, which is a good month. In June, 184. And I'm just like, I can't believe you people did this Byron Buxton thing. Unbelievably so. And then, second half of the year, it all kind of gets turned around a little bit, right? July, 387. August, 324. September, 270. Three really good months from Byron Buxton. A lot of power in August where he hit 8 of his home runs. 8 of the 11 second half home runs came in that 1 month. Stolen base wise, 8 come in August. August, by far, the best month of his career, just doing stuff. The 387 average, of course.
Well, he didn't really have a career.
Right. The 387 average came in just 10 games in July. In August, he played 29 games. There's only 31 days in August. He played 29 of them. So, what Byron, he's 24 years old. Matt, what do I expect Byron Buxton to be in 2018?
I think Steamer's projection is pretty good with like the average. You can't project the average right now to be too high. You just can't. But last year, was it 9 players had 2020 seasons? Mm-hmm. 9. So 2020 is valuable. And if he can hit anywhere from 250 and up, I think it's more 2030 for him. And, you know, we finally saw his speed. His speed is immense. It's kind of like Olympic type speed. So I don't blame anybody for taking a shot. I'm not going to draft him all the time, but I think to get some exposure is a good thing.
Jake?
I like Buxton. He's a clear lesson on don't give up too quickly. To be fair, though, he looked completely lost at the plate, swinging at everything. There's obviously Matt's right. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he's even a 2035, maybe even more than that. The mm-hmm. speed is for real too. So there's definitely upside with him. The average is never going to be something that helps. It's going to be a mediocre average at best. Matt's 100% right there as well. The lineup isn't going to do him too many favors, especially with no Miguel Sanu. The only concern I have is not so much with Bucks. The only concern I have is that if you look at September, he did regress a little bit when it comes to his plate discipline and started swinging at everything again, and the strikeout percentage jumped over 30%. That is concerning. Hopefully what we saw for the most of the second half is Buxton filling out on his potential. And like you mentioned, he's only 24 years old. The kid is still young. Not everybody's going to be Bryce Harper. That's the reason Bryce Harper is Bryce Harper. It doesn't happen that often. So there's still plenty of hope here. But as Matt said, that's part of the reason with that strikeout percentage, with his swing and miss, why you're not going to expect an average. He's basically a four-category guy. But it's, as Matt's also said again to the 2020, that four category is hard to find. You can live with that average.
Now, it's really interesting because you bring up the strikeout percentage in September. And I think it's a really good point. And it made me think the Twins in this pennant race, essentially, you could have had Byron Buxton more games than he's ever played in his career towards the end of the year, trying to fight for the playoffs. It could have been quite simply pressing, right? Like just pressing a little bit, trying to do a little bit too much. Where in the summer, once he relaxed a little bit, it was kind of all well and good. It might be as simple as that. And at 24 years old, you improve on that. So if I give him the benefit of the doubt there, which I think I'm willing to do, Jake, where should I draft him this year?
Buxton?
Yeah.
Where's he going in the NFBC? Out of curiosity, Matt.
I think he's going right around where AJ Pollock was before. He's going higher. He's 53.
Pollock's what?
Him and Sterling Marte have the same ADP.
And what is Pollock?
I was going to say fifth round.
And Pollock is 61.
How would you rank? You told us about Marte and Pollock, depending on roster construction and what you're trying to do. Would you take Buxton before Pollock and Marte?
I would take Buxton before I took Pollock.
Okay, would you take Buxton?
Barely. I mean, there's the downside. Look, you have the strikeout concern, the average with Buxton. You have the injury with Pollock. I mean, something you're factoring a risk with both of them.
Yeah, I think I would lean Pollock personally. Maybe only because I've seen
lean
him do
Pollock,
it.
But this to me brings back the argument we had with Scott and diversity. Like it was like Julio and Beckham.
Yeah.
So you split them up. Maybe if you like Pollock a little more, like I kind of, I'll go a little more Pollock, but I will take some Buxton.
Right. It's, and I agree with you. And that's really crazy to me because Buxton's just so young, right? Like,
well, the thing with Buxton that's going to keep him in this is his defense.
Definitely.
It's just
yes.
so phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially in that park. That park, you know, that's why I wanted you, Darvish, to go there. I think it was a good park for him. You have defense like Buxton running center field. So, well, I mean, we'll see. I hope the Twins get some pitching. I really do.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I think Byron Buxton is a type of player, also like A.J. Pollock, Jake, that I think can win you leagues, right? Like, this is the kind of guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's if you're going for the game-winning difference maker, it is Pollock. Because if he plays 150, 155 games, like you said, you're getting borderline first-round talent. There's no denying that. So if you're going to go for that... obviously, depending on your roster construction, if you've already taken a risk before that, if you're taking a lot of risks on your teams, you're not going to want that many. You're just going to go for broke. I did that 1 year in labor, and I finished in fifth or sixth place, and I was after a huge comeback in September. It's a big risk trying to go with that many factors on your team.
You want to go as one pick ahead of A.J. Pollock? It's Tommy Pham.
So I like Tommy Pham also, as Matt knows, which is why I think I brought it up. The one doubt you have with Tommy Pham is it real, right? Like, he's 29 years old, entering age 30, and he hasn't exactly been, you know, an MLB superstar by any means.
Daniel Murphy, that's what you're hoping for.
Correct. You're 100% right. You're hoping for Daniel Murphy, that all of a sudden this dude figured it out.
The LASIK is the reason, too.
LASIK, absolutely. He's worked on his speed this offseason. I like hearing that. I love hearing that. Like, I don't care about the best shape in your life. You tell me he's working on his speed, like, that's awesome. But I'm thinking, what can Tommy Pham be? Like, can Tommy Pham play 150 games and give me what A.J. Pollock and Byron Buxton theoretically can bring? Is that what we're hoping for when it comes to Tommy Pham, Jake? You said you love him. Why?
No. I said I like him. I don't love him as much as you do.
Okay.
But I think, as Matt said, I think the LASIK, I think it's the adjustments. We've seen this before. It's not common. You do have to worry about players all of a sudden having the light switch on at this late into their career, especially at 29, everything like that. But changes happen. I mean, I referenced Bautista yesterday. Bautista flashed his power out of nowhere. He was a little bit younger, but at the same time, it was all of a sudden a switch. And just it was adjustment in his swing with Pham. It was adjustment with the LASIK. It's all these things. Sometimes something clicks. Sometimes the switch is found. With Daniel Murphy, it's the same thing. I lean more towards believing it than not. There's obviously the downside risk that he's that one-year wonder, especially on a team where we've seen this before. We've seen a lot of one-year wonders with the Cardinals, surprisingly. So there's concerns here, but I'm in because I believe. I believe that was the fix. I believe he is corrected.
Yeah, I mean, Steamer has him for 19 homers, 18 stolen bases, and a .267 average. How would you feel about that, Mr. Sussman? I mean,
read it to me one more time, because my thing just closed.
19 homers, 18 stolen bases, and a .267 average. I mean, Steamer's usually conservative, too.
You just gave me, what, 7 players in 2020? That was your number?
9
players.
So that's what I'm saying.
You're right there. I mean, you're right there. As you said, Steamer's conservative. That's great. I love Tommy Pham. I like all of these guys. I'm going to wind up with tons of Tommy Pham. I don't know.
He's going 60th overall.
Would I take him before AJ? The question becomes: do you take him before AJ Pollock and Byron Buxton and Starling Marte? Like, that's the question you have.
Pham?
Yes.
He deserves to be in that same range.
He does. I totally agree. I just don't know how to rank those four dudes. Like, I know that's what we're trying to figure out, but
I'm working on my projections this week. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you on Monday.
I appreciate it. It's really, really hard.
Can we do Kyle Schwarber tomorrow?
Yeah, I absolutely can do Kyle Schwarber tomorrow. Well, I actually, because of you, I took Kyle Schwarber in this mock draft for Roto Experts. We can always talk about Kyle Schwarber tomorrow. I think it's a great one to talk about, actually. So we'll talk about Schwarber tomorrow on the program. I have a bunch of pitchers. That I'd like to talk about as well. They don't really fit this mold, but that I found interesting. I think Sonny Gray comes to mind with that. I think that's really interesting. Jose Berrios, I like. I want to talk about him. Jose Quintana as well. Those are the four pitchers that I'm kind of interested
cool.
in. Cool. Yeah. All right, so looking forward to that. We might play Is Mike Lying tomorrow on this show, because I know Flora's going to be here. So I think Is Mike Lying would be fun on this show. Get Jake involved. Cool. I think that would be fun. So with that, Roto Experts, today, it's over. For Jake Seeley,
tomorrow.
The All-In Kid, from Matt Modica, Wall Street. My name is Greg Sussman. Really fun show. Baseball conversation, a basketball conversation, and it was great. It was awesome to hang out with you guys this afternoon. We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a fantastic rest of your day. The VFFs are up next.